Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. From Psalm 80, verses 7 through 19. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the field feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Bethany Givens Blankesport. This is the first Sunday after the start of Pastor Andrew's sabbatical. And this is my first Sunday as I enter into serving our community in this term minister position. I was praying recently with a friend, and in prayer she offered me an image of bringing the fruit of my garden to a picnic to share with others. And I thought of Brian and my real garden in our little row house backyard. It's a very imperfect garden. We have a lot to learn about and to actually put into practice about gardening, but we do have a few plants that grow really well. We have these yard beans, which are like really long green beans. They grow like this long. We've got these sweet grape tomatoes, and I love to take the beans and the tomatoes and add them to a pesto pasta dish. Our kale is flourishing, which I will sometimes add into a lentil salad with tahini dressing. It's not the most impressive garden out there, but we've got some good produce to share with others. My hope in these next 6 months is that I can share with you some of the fruit that God has been cultivating in my life over the past few years, which is what I have to give. No more, no less. And my prayer is that the bit of fruit that I offer as a gift, that it can invite all of us to pay attention to God's invitation, to what God wants to cultivate in us as a community and in each of us as individuals. And throughout the next 6 months of Andrew's sabbatical, we'll be having a lot of guest preachers up here. And my hope is that as a community, we can create space for each person to just offer the gift that they have to give, and for us to receive that as a gift. So this morning, as we begin this fall series on Life in the Vine, I will be sharing some of my own story. In particular, over the past 2 years, how God has been reshaping my approach to life and growth and ministry and my relationship to Jesus through some deep learning around vines and viticulture. My journey with vines began 2 summers ago in 2022. My friend Betty invited another friend and me to visit her in Traverse City, Michigan, to spend some time in vineyards there. Now, you might not be aware that Traverse City is actually a budding wine region. Traverse City is in northern Michigan. It actually falls on the same parallel as Bordeaux, France. And it's located next to Lake Michigan, and that huge body of water gives it some natural insulation. It's got sandy soil, which is great for drainage, and all of this leads to some really good growing conditions for vines. So Betty invited us to spend the day in a local vineyard with her friend Dave Boss. Dave is a vine dresser, which just means he's a farmer of grapevines. He specializes in consulting with vineyards who want to adopt organic and biodynamic farming practices. Basically, he specializes in a way of vine growing that has been practiced for ages and ages, but is different than a lot of modern farming practices, that relies on the interdependency of relationships within a whole farm system to cultivate health, vitality, and quality in the vines. It was a warm, breezy day in July when I stepped foot into the vineyard with Dave and Betty for the first time 2 summers ago. I didn't know at the time that this would be the first of several visits to the vines with Dave and Betty, and that spending time with the vines would be a theme that followed me throughout my sabbatical last year. But on that first visit, I was at a place in my life where I felt that I needed and that I was ready for fresh ways of imagining life and work and ministry. If you go back to the archives of WCF sermons, I preached a sermon around that same time, 2 years ago, from Psalm 84, where I shared about how I'd been cultivating longing for God in the midst of some challenging and spiritually dry years. Those were years of a lot of activity and output, years of full-time work while also in grad school for my seminary degree. They were years of wrestling with God, and then of exhaustion and disruption of becoming a parent, not to mention the pandemic. And in my ministry role, in my job during those years, I was basically part of a new startup department within my organization. The work and the vision were exciting and energizing, but in that kind of startup atmosphere, it is easy for folks in leadership to get caught up in big visions and striving for growth and chasing impressive number goals, sometimes at the expense of the well-being of those doing the labor. I loved the work of the program I was doing, but the environment was draining my soul. I was not thriving. So I had made what was a difficult for me decision to leave that position for the one that I am currently in. When I started learning about vines and vine dressing 2 years ago, this is where I was at. I had already crossed through a challenging number of years, and I was ready for new models of life and ministry. During those years, I had been wrestling with the pressure, both internal and external, that I felt to produce more, to have greater impact, while at the same time, I had this growing, nagging sense from God that my true self would not be found in producing mode, Bethany. I felt a nagging but risky invitation to cultivate my being over my doing, to really take that seriously. Perhaps you can relate to the tension of being versus doing. In many of our workplaces, perhaps especially in DC, identity is tied to what we produce. Our value economically and our value to organizations is determined by our output and productivity. Success is measured by growth. We live in a culture and economic system that prioritizes constant upward growth models. The problem comes when we take those cultural models of growth and production and apply them to ourselves as humans and to our participation in the life of Christ. In Scripture, we see that the kingdom of God is something that grows. It's like a mustard seed, a tiny seed that becomes a great big plant. The kingdom of God is like a tree that grows, its branches spread out to give shade and shelter to those around. The growth is not just for itself, but for the life of the world. In Acts, we see explosive growth in the early days of the church as the Spirit moves. Healthy things grow. But Do you know what else grows really impressively?
Yes, weeds!
Yeah, weeds grow really well. So do invasive plants that in their growth are choking the vitality of an ecosystem. Growth by itself is not a sign that something is healthy and good and just. What actually matters is the quality and the substance of the thing that is growing. In our own lives, we know that busyness and more output does not really indicate anything about our true health and thriving. And in our communities and churches, more activities and programming and committees does not guarantee a healthy system. So my name, Bethany, actually means, the Hebrew meaning of it is a fruitful house, a house of dates and figs, or a fruitful house. And I've always treasured that name meaning because I do long for a life that bears abundant fruit. Part of the first vocational calling of humans in the garden in Genesis is to be fruitful, to participate in the creative, life-giving activity of God in this world. Walking through the vineyards 2 years ago, the words of John 15, which we heard read today, filled my being. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit." This beautiful, familiar, beloved metaphor by many holds the simple yet incredibly challenging way of living, where fruitfulness springs more from being than doing. Fruitfulness springs from abiding, not frantic producing. In Psalm 80, which we heard today, we see that the vineyard metaphor for God's relationship to God's people would have been very familiar to Jesus' Jewish listeners. In Psalm 80, the people of Israel were like a transplanted vine, and God is depicted as a good gardener of the vine. But the vine comes into disrepair. It needs saving. Isaiah 5 echoes this same vineyard narrative, and at the end, it describes the Lord looking at the vineyard. He looks for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. In John 15, Jesus takes the vineyard metaphor that's familiar to his listeners, and he changes it. "I am the true vine," Jesus declares. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus is the vine. The people of Israel, the people of God, are not the vine. Jesus is the true vine, which is good news for people whose vines have often become diseased and dry and fallen into disrepair. Fruitfulness is not found. Fruitfulness is found through abiding in Jesus, the true vine. "I am the true vine," Jesus says, "and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. God is the vine dresser. God is a good vine dresser." This is good news. Those who abide in Jesus, the true vine, benefit from the attentive care of a good vine dresser. Now, Jesus' audience would have been familiar with vines. In fact, many households would have had a vine in their own backyard to make wine. Most people in an agrarian culture, where wine was important for social and religious practice, would have understood some things about vine growing. I, however, am not the product of an agrarian vine growing culture, so I need some help to understand things that would have been obvious to Jesus' original audience. So, let me tell you what I have learned over the past couple of years about good vine dressers from my friend Dave, the vine dresser. And let me just take a moment to give some credit and gratitude to Dave Boss for all of the time and wisdom and knowledge that he has generously shared with me, and to my friend Betty Dickinson, who invited me to be a co-learner with her on this journey with the vines. And if, like me, you sense that God may want to reshape your imagination for life and ministry through vines, at the end of the sermon, I'll share a QR code for some of Betty's resources around vines. So Dave taught me that a good vine dresser is primarily focused on the overall and long-term health, quality, and vitality of the vine. If you only remember one takeaway from my sermon, I would like it to be this: God is a good vine dresser who is invested in the long-term health, quality, and vitality of the vine. Although a harvest of fruit, of course, is the hope of the growing season, a vine dresser is not overly occupied by fruit. By the time the fruit is ripening on the vine, it's really too late to do much to affect the harvest. It's what happens before bud breaks, before the fruit is set and ripening begins that matters. Preparing the soil, pruning old growth, suckering weak new shoots of growth, thinning the fruit. A good vine dresser knows that a healthy plant will produce fruit. This is why they look for signs of health or stress early on, and then they can make their farming adjustments accordingly. I don't think it's an accident that Scripture uses viticulture as a metaphor for God's relationship with people. Grapevines require far more regular and intimate attention than any other fruit-bearing plant. In fact, throughout the growing season, a vine dresser will have between 8 to 12 different touch points with every single vine. That's 8 to 12 different times when the vine dresser is coming through, paying attention to what is happening with the vine. Is it overactive or is it underactive? That will affect what the vine dresser does. Does it need suckering? Which perfectly good fruit should be removed so that it doesn't take away energy from the very best fruit that will be left to ripen? A good vine dresser knows that caring for vines is an art, not a science. It requires intimate relationship of attentiveness, care, and knowing. The metaphor of God as a vine dresser shows us that we have a high touch point God. When I spend time with Dave in the vineyards, I see him interact with the vine with so much care and wisdom and love, even. Dave will tell you that there is no perfect vineyard. Signs of stress or trouble spots on the plant aren't shocking to find. If a branch of the vine is struggling to grow fruit one year, it doesn't make him anxious. He's not anxious, but he is attentive, because everything he observes will inform the next action that he takes with the vine. And a good vine dresser knows how to get a plant that is struggling back into a place of thriving. It's counterintuitive. Vine dressers don't fixate on the fruit, they focus on everything before that, everything that will create a vital, vibrant plant. The fruit will be a natural byproduct. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. In John 15, it's counterintuitive. Don't focus on output and fruit, focus on abiding. Focus on the relational being with Jesus. Cultivate intimacy, dependence, and trust with Jesus. And know that you are under the care of a good vine dresser. Okay, so if you only remember one takeaway, let it be that God is a good vine dresser who is invested in the long-term health, quality, and vitality of the vine. But if you can remember two takeaways, the second is this: abiding in the vine under the care of a good vine dresser involves lots and lots of pruning. The path to bearing fruit in the vine does not look the way that we would expect it to look. Okay, so this is a vine before it's been pruned for the season. In a healthy, normal year, 90%, or in a healthy, normal vine, 90% of growth is cut back during pruning. In a vine that is struggling, even more growth might be cut back. And a plant might be struggling because it has been stressed from overproduction in previous seasons, or a plant might have experienced some kind of trauma, perhaps from weather or disease. Either way, the struggling plant will be cut back even more for a growing season to allow all of the energy to go toward its rehabilitation, toward it getting stronger. Dave says that it takes 3 years of cutting back all fruit to get an overstressed vine back into healthy, fruit-bearing condition. And a good vine dresser will do this. They will give up 3 years of fruit production because they are looking to the long-term health of the plant. and see this is the plant after pruning off 90% of the growth. In a healthy vine, after pruning 90% of the previous growth, the vine continues to be cut back through the growing season. In grapevines, quantity is in direct competition with quality. A smaller quantity of grapes will allow the plant to focus its energy during the time of ripening to create a more concentrated flavor in the fruit that is harvested. Less quantity equals greater quality in grapevines. A good vine dresser cuts away bad fruit, but also cuts away perfectly fine fruit so that the plant might produce spectacular fruit. Not only that, but every year, a healthy vine spends months in dormancy. Months, when it looks like nothing is going on. There are no leaves, no sign of new fruit. It looks barren. But the plant is not dead, and something hidden is happening. It's a time of no output. Metrics can't capture what is going on inside the plant. Yet dormancy is necessary preparation for a new growing season. If you ask my friend Dave, what is the most common mistake that an inexperienced vine dresser makes, he will tell you that it is not pruning enough. If you are new to pruning vines, the amount of growth that needs to be cut back every season will feel drastic. So I actually got to visit the vineyards in Traverse City for pruning this past April. I even got to try my hand at pruning. A pruned vine looks raw and vulnerable. It looks empty and barren. Pruning is risky. Pruning requires trust. Trust that the pruning process really will lead to more growth and to healthier fruit. So how do we learn to live into the rhythms of the vine? How do we cooperate rather than resist the vine dresser? For me, as I let the vine inform my imagination, this led to a season of cutting back and focusing my commitments. It meant honestly assessing the energy that I was spending on various activities and outputs and asking God to show whether there were some perfectly fine things that were sucking energy from the most important ones. In my work program where I had choice, it meant saying no to certain things. Sometimes it meant saying no to something that I wished I could say yes to, but I knew I did not have capacity for. And that felt risky. What if I disappointed people? What if I missed out on my only chance to do this thing? For me, it also meant prioritizing abiding, prioritizing being with Jesus instead of mostly doing for Jesus. About a month after the first visit to the vine in 2022, I said yes to doing the Ignatian spiritual exercises, which is kind of like an extended retreat designed to fit into your everyday life over a nine-month period. This required me to restructure my routine and schedule. It meant I was committing an hour of each day to a kind of prayer and engagement with Scripture and with Jesus that was not directly connected to my ministry output. Now, I'm incredibly aware of the luxury of being in professional ministry, that I can have time for prayer within my work schedule. But let me tell you how incredibly hard it is in practice for professional ministers and pastors to feel permission, whether external or internal, for that kind of prayer that is simply about abiding, not directly connected to output, because our missions organizations and our churches have not escaped the influence of Western culture's productivity mindset. It felt vulnerable and risky to trust that cultivating my being with God, even if it meant there was less space for activity and productivity, at least for a while, would not hurt my work. I believe that the gift that WCF is offering Pastor Andrew through the sabbatical is the gift of allowing him to live into this way of the vine, this way of cultivating being with God over doing with God, of letting the good vine dresser prune you. I'm sure there is work of trust and risk ahead of him as he goes into this season, but it also takes risk and trust for a church to give their pastor a sabbatical, to trust that we are all operating under the care of a good vine dresser who is intent on the long-term health and vitality of the plant. to trust that the path that leads to healthy fruit bearing is one that begins with dormancy, pruning, cutting off, and cutting back. In my own life, it's been interesting to see how that season of cutting back has led to a season currently of unexpected and joyful yeses, including the yes to serving WCF in a deeper way during Andrew's sabbatical. Now, what might pruning look like for us right now? What kind of pruning work might God be doing in your life? And how can we cooperate rather than resist the pruning? I think pruning can look like cutting off and cutting back. So a vine dresser cuts off bad and unhealthy growth. In our lives, pruning can be the work of God cutting away sin patterns that keep us from loving God fully and loving our neighbors, cutting off our impulses toward greed and self-sufficiency, cutting off the places where we harbor unforgiveness and pride. The thing that is interesting, in my experience, though, is that when you are abiding in the vine and trusting that you are under the care of a good vine dresser, this kind of pruning work, exposing and cutting away sin, feels more like freedom and less like judgment. Now, a vine dresser cuts off unhealthy growth, but as we said, the vine dresser also just cuts back perfectly fine growth and fruit so that the plant can focus its energy and prioritize the best fruit. If you were to prioritize abiding in Jesus, what would need to be cut back or restructured in your life to make space for that? Are there places where you are being invited into risky trust to prioritize your being over your doing? We know that life in the vine starts with abiding. Abiding in Jesus, the true vine. Cultivating dependence, connection, intimacy with Jesus. Over the past 2 years at WCF, through the Practicing the Way material, we've taken some deep dives into different spiritual formation practices. We've done Sabbath, prayer, fasting, and solitude so far. Now, merely talking about these practices can become a kind of inward-focused navel-gazing, but practicing those practices is a pathway toward deeper abiding, actually practicing them. So perhaps God is inviting you to revisit and re-engage with one of those practices. As I mentioned earlier, my friend Betty has developed a resource around the theme of pruning. So here's a QR code if you want to go a little deeper into this theme with an audio-guided reflection, and you can feel free to ask me for it later, too. Maybe that's a way for you to spend some time reflecting on what God the good vine dresser might be inviting you to in your life. Friends, God is a good vine dresser who knows what is needed for long-term health, quality, and vitality of the vine. And abiding in the vine under the care of a good vine dresser involves lots and lots of pruning. So, this fall, may we learn the way of the vine. May we learn to abide in Jesus, the true vine, and may we learn to live under the care of the good vine dresser. Amen.